As you can see, Brother Jack is not here this morning. He wasn't feeling too well, so Brother Nate texted me a few minutes ago and asked me if I could just move my class into here. So here I am with you guys this morning. So we'll all study together this morning. Anybody we need to pray for this morning specifically? Anybody on your heart that we need to pray for? I know there's lots of people sick. Okay, all right. Okay. Who else? Sarah Jennings, okay. Anybody else this morning on your heart? Remember Jolie's story and her family. Her mom's battling cancer, and I don't think it's going too well, so I know she really needs your prayers and the whole family, so just be sure you remember them. So anybody else this morning? Jim? Okay. Anyone else? All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, just first of all, that we're just able to gather here, Lord, today and just get out and just fellowship, Lord, and just study your word together. Lord, we pray for those that weren't able to do so this morning, Lord, due to sickness, due to illness, Lord, due to things that they are battling, Lord. So just we thank you for the opportunity to gather here this morning, Lord. We just thank you for your goodness, Lord, just for who you are, Lord, just as we just move past the Christmas season, Lord, just help us not to forget what you've done for us, Lord, as you sent your Son into the world, Lord, just to be a sacrifice for us, Lord, just to cover our sins, Lord, that we might have fellowship with you. We just thank you for that, Father, Lord. We just want to lift up these that were mentioned this morning, Lord. There's so many, Lord. There's so many that are sick, so many that are battling cancer or various other things, Lord. We know you know each and every need, Lord. So we lift them up to you, Lord, knowing that, Lord, you are in control of all things. Lord, we may not understand that all the time, Lord. Too often we want to ask why, Lord, but help us just to look to you, Lord. Just we pray for those that you might give them comfort, Lord, that you might give them peace, that you might give them strength, Lord, that you might give them healing, Lord, where it be your will, Lord. Just be with the families, Lord, that the loved ones that are just surrounding those that are suffering, Lord, that you might give them strength, Lord, that you might give them peace, Father. We just ask you just to be with us over the next few minutes. We study your word that you might lead and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to be in 1 John today. I started studying 1 John a few weeks ago, and I just, you know, it was one of those things where I was looking for somewhere to go, and that's where I landed. And when I started studying, I was like, wow, you know, it really started speaking to me. And I just love when you dig into the scripture that way, how it, even though you've read it before, but it'll start speaking to you in ways that you haven't seen. And, you know, if you're not studying scripture on a regular basis, I highly, highly encourage you to do so, because this is God's word to us, right? And it's not just it is a blanket word, but it's personal. Like, there's things in here that you can read and you can study that, man, it'll just speak to your life at where you're at right now. And it's just awesome how God can have something that was written so many years ago, but still reach you on a personal level today. You just think about that. You think about when 1 John was written, probably around 80 AD, 80, 90 AD, and how you can read this, how you can study this, and how it can apply to your life today, almost 2,000 years later. Right? That's only through the power of God. There's no other book like that, right? There's no other book that can speak to you, speak to your situation, speak to your life on such a personal, practical level. So I just think that's awesome how Scripture will speak to us, but you've got to put in the work, right? You've got to do your part to study it. That's your job as a follower of Christ, to study the word that has been given to you. So you've got to do your part. So 1 John is written by the Apostle John. So he obviously wrote one of the Gospels, the book of John. But he also wrote a couple other books, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. So this is 1 John. This was probably written between 85 and 90 A.D. And this is the target audience was probably Gentile congregations, right? Gentile churches is who he's speaking to here. And we'll just jump in. So this is in 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it, and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which is with the Father, and has appeared to us. I just love, absolutely love, how he starts this out. He is giving you the basis of how he can say the things he's going to say. He's giving you his reasoning. He's giving you his authority. He can say what he's going to say because he was there. He walked with Jesus, right? He spent time with Jesus. He was in fellowship with Jesus. Who more to speak to that than a man that was there walking with Jesus? So he's saying, these things that I'm going to say, these things which I'm going to share with you, I've heard them. I've seen them. I touched his hand. Think about how awesome that is. First hand. This is a first hand account of a man that spent time with the Son of God. You grasp that? First-hand account of a man that walked with the Son of God. These words are important here. These words are important here. The life appeared, and we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which is with the Father and has appeared to us. He's talking about Jesus here. He's talking about Jesus. So there were some questions during that time about Jesus. So you're getting on to the second generation church here. So they're starting to have issues of people falling away, questioning what happened, questioning what occurred. So there was some that believed that the acts Jesus did, the things that he did, were because he was not fully man. They're like, well, we're not saying he couldn't do these things. We're saying he could do these things because he was a spirit. Because he was a being, right? He wasn't fully man. But we know, we just celebrated Christmas, we know that he was fully man, right? He was fully man, but yet fully God. Now, we can't wrap our minds totally around what that exactly means, right? Our minds aren't capable of getting to that level. We trust what the Bible has given us, and we trust what it says. It says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. So what he's saying there, we are sharing this, what I have witnessed firsthand. I am sharing this that you may have fellowship, right? You may become a part of, you may join in on what God is offering through his Son, Jesus Christ. He is sharing this for the benefit of others, right? This is being shared to the benefit of this church that he was addressing, and this is being shared to the benefit of us, right? It is a benefit that John is sharing his experience and what the Holy Spirit inspired him to write to us. And it's a joy for him to do so. It makes my joy complete, right? Complete to be able to do this. Verse 5. This is the message we have heard. So, if you read the Gospels, I'm sure all of you had, are they all the same? Nope. They are not all exactly the same. You will have different views because they're different men wrote them, right? Not saying they're not all accurate. They're all accurate, but they're accurate in different ways. Because if I asked you guys, everybody in this room, to read 1 John this week and come back and give me an account of what you read and how it spoke to you, everybody's going to have a little bit different opinion, right? It's not going to be all the same. Now, there will be some commonality between everybody, I'm sure, but there will be differences in what spoke to you versus what spoke to somebody else. That's okay. It doesn't mean that it's not accurate. It doesn't mean that there's an inaccuracy there. It just means that the Scripture spoke to you in a different way. Much like, you know, John gave his gospel account because that's what spoke to John. That's what stuck out to John versus what stuck out to Matthew, right? Still accurate, still the same, but that's what stuck out to them, right? They still had the same experience, but it just spoke to them in a different way. And that's okay. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. We're all different people, right? God speaks to us in different ways. We all think differently, have different feelings, different emotions. We're not a bunch of robots all thinking the same way. We do have likeness in our thinking, we hope, right? We do have unity in the gospel message, but there were going to be some differences. But so John is sharing with us what we have heard. So this is, to me, means this is what stuck out to John, right? This is what John felt compelled by the Holy Spirit to share with us. It says, this is the message we have heard from him to declare to you, from Jesus to declare to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. So when we think about God being the light, right, what comes to mind when we say God is light? I like to ask questions when I'm teaching. What are we thinking about here? God is light. There is no darkness in him at all. He's holy, right? He's good. He's pure, without fail. You can think of all these adjectives to describe God in his holiness and his goodness. You know, God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. So I really, really keyed in on these next few verses when I was studying this, because when you think about making a claim, anybody can make a claim, right? Anybody can say, I am a follower of Jesus. Anybody can speak those words. But there has to be proof, right? Your life has to show that. And he says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, if we claim we are a part, if we claim that we are a follower, right? If we claim that we are a servant of his, yet we walk, you can't walk without intention, right? If you're going to walk across this room, you're going to think about that. You're going to intentionally do that. It'll be purposeful, right? There will be purpose to it. It's just not some random act. You are thinking about it. It's something that you are choosing. You are choosing to do. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet choose to walk in darkness, we lie. And we do not live out the truth. If you claim you're a follower of Jesus, if you claim you had fellowship with Jesus, if you claim, that you've been born again, yet you choose, you walk in darkness, what's it say? We lie. That means you're lying. If you claim you have fellowship with Jesus, but yet you purposely continue to sin in your life, that's what darkness is, right? That's what they're talking about, darkness. Purposely choose. Because we're going to cover the fact that we all sin, right? We're talking about intentional, right? You are intentionally sinning. Because walk is intentional, right? The word walk, like we just said, if you say, I'm walking, if you choose to walk, you're doing with intent and with purpose. Now, are we all in sin? Absolutely. And John's going to cover that, right? We're talking about sin purposely sinning. That's what we're talking about here. choosing to sin. Sin is a choice, right? Sin can absolutely be a choice. When you look at how sin entered the world, and I'm just going to turn to Genesis, and I'm going to share with you how sin entered the world, it came down to a choice. Genesis 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." God created everything, placed man in the garden. There's a tree there. You can have anything you want, absolutely anything you want in this garden. You are to rule over it. You are in charge. This tree, off limits. Don't touch it. Don't eat from it. Off limits. Why would God give man a choice? Why in the world would God give man a choice? Because you can't have obedience if you don't have a choice. How can you be obedient if you do not have a choice? God says, here's a tree. You can either have me, everything I've given you, and that's perfect. It's all perfect. Just don't eat this. I'm asking you not to do this. It's what God said. God gave Adam a choice. Let me read this to you. This is a footnote in my Bible. God gave Adam responsibility for the garden and told him not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Rather than physically preventing him from eating from the tree, God gave Adam a choice, and thus the possibility of choosing wrongly. God still gives us a choice, and we too often choose wrongly. These wrong choices may cause us pain, but they can help us learn and make better choices in the future. Living with the consequences of our choices teaches us to choose more carefully. Why would God place a tree in the garden and then forbid Adam to eat from it? God wanted Adam to obey him. But God gave Adam the freedom to choose. Without freedom, Adam would have been like a prisoner, and his obedience would have been hollow. The two trees provided an exercise in choice, with rewards for choosing to obey the set of consequences for choosing to disobey. When you are faced with a choice between right and wrong, remember that God has given you an opportunity to obey him. Right? God gives us choices to make. God did not make us robots where we couldn't think for ourselves. He gave us the ability to reason. He gave us the ability to study his word. We have all these things that help us to make the right choice. Let me look here. All right, let's move on. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we make the choice not to walk in darkness, not to walk in sin, that's what darkness is, sin. Excuse me. If we make that choice, we're separated from him. We are not his if we're choosing to willfully disobey him. Doesn't mean you can't repent and come back, but if your life is willful disobedience, you can't claim to have fellowship with him. That's what John says, right? That's what John says. John walked with Jesus, right? He has the authority to say these things to us. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship, right? We have that fellowship that he was talking about earlier. You know, we back up. It says, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. God cannot tolerate sin. He simply cannot tolerate sin. Why would he ever send his Son to die on a cross to be atoning sacrifice if he could tolerate sin? He would not. It doesn't make sense. God cannot tolerate the sin in your life. He cannot do it. You cannot be a sinful person and come into the presence of God. Can't do it. God knew You and I cannot do that on our own. We can never be good enough. We can never be perfect enough. We are going to make the wrong decisions at times. He knew that. He absolutely knew that. So what he did in his perfect plan, I'm going to send my son, Jesus. We just celebrated Christmas, the coming of Jesus. I'm going to send my son to the earth to redeem these people, to save these people. Right? Jesus walked the earth perfect. He was perfect, without fault, without sin. Therefore, he became the final atoning sacrifice. He died on a cross, rose again 3 days later, so that anyone that calls on the name of Jesus, Jesus, I repent of my sin. I know the way I'm living is wrong. What I'm doing is wrong. My life is wrong. I'm willfully disobeying you. I don't want to do that anymore. Come into my life. Make me clean. You're covered with the blood of Jesus. God the Father looks at you through that covering. Right? Through that covering of the blood of Jesus. You don't have to worry about all these things that trip you up. Right? You should not be willfully disobeying God. Right? You should not be choosing to walk in darkness. But you should recognize that when you mess up, and we're all going to mess up, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. He doesn't hold that against you. He wants you to come to repentance, right? Because he wants that fellowship with you. He wants you to walk in the light. But when you mess up, you're forgiven. Through the blood of Jesus. Not yourself. Through the blood of Jesus. It says, if we claim nobody's without sin, right? You come across these people that think they're perfect and they got it all. They don't. They don't. Everybody sins. What's the Bible say? For everyone, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Excuse me. I really like this because we strive, right? I hope we strive to not walk in darkness. I hope we strive not to be sinful people. So then we can, if we're not careful, we can get this little bit of arrogance about us, right? We can think, well, I'm not doing this like they are. I'm not doing this. I'm good. I'm good. Let me read you what James says. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, that is a sin for them. How many times has that happened to you? How many times this week have you known the good, excuse me, you were supposed to do and didn't do it? Right? I'm too busy. Don't want to mess with it right now. I don't want to reach out to that person. Right? How many times has God put something on your heart and says, I want you to do this? You just brush it aside. It is a sin to know what you ought to do and not to do it. I don't know about you, but that one gets me. That one gets me. So don't think you're without sin. Don't think just because, well, I'm upholding the Ten Commandments perfectly. Don't think because you don't do this, this, and this, you're okay. You're not. None of us are. None of us are. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us. Right? He wants us to confess. He wants us to come before him and say, God, I got it wrong. I screwed up. Right? He wants you to acknowledge that. He wants you to acknowledge that before his presence that, God, you're sovereign, you're holy, you're mighty, you're perfect, and I messed up. That's all you got to do. Repentance is beautiful. Like, repentance is a beautiful thing. God, he welcomes it, right? He welcomes it. He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins, and we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Do you want to make God out to be a liar? Oh, gosh, I hope you don't. I hope you don't, but if you claim that you don't sin, that you're not without sin, then you make him out to be a liar. He says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. Right? Sin is a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. It distances us from God. Because light and dark don't mix. So when you're in that sinful state, when you're in that sin, you don't want that fellowship. You want to distance yourself from it. It says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Listen to this. And not only for ours. A single person that if they choose to repent of their sins, that he will not forgive them. There's not a single person. And not because he says he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Not only for ours. Not only for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. Man, what a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. So as we move past the Christmas season, and I hope you had time to sit back and reflect on what truly happened, that God himself invaded the world for one purpose only, to be the atoning sacrifices for our sin, and not only for ours, but the sin of the whole world. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I thank him most. Any comments, questions, concerns? I like to say that to my class every Sunday. If you should strive to be in the light. You should strive to be in the fellowship. Doesn't mean we're not going to mess up. We are. We are. We all mess up. We all fall short. But repent. Confess your sin to him. He wants, the God of the universe wants to be in fellowship with you. You get that? The God that spoke the world into creation wants to be in fellowship with you. He doesn't want that sin in your life. He doesn't. That sin trips us up and entangles us. It takes us away from him. It takes us away from him. If we will walk in his light, walk in according to his ways, our lives will be so much better. Not that it's an easy thing to do sometimes. It's not. But it's worth the struggle, right? It's worth trying to live up and be the person he wants you to be. All right, let's close. Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord. We just thank you that, Lord, you gave us your word to study, Lord. How awesome that is that you, the God that meant to study your word, Lord, just to use it to expose the sin in our lives, Lord. To expose the sin that drags us away from you, Lord. That we might be in more fellowship with you, Lord. That we might be walking in your ways and just living like you would have us to live, Lord. Just help us to do that, Lord. We just pray that you be with Brother Nate as he brings a message today. In Jesus' name.